broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, continues now. This is the broadcast for Saturday, May 18th in the year of our Lord, 2019. This is hour two of two, and our goal always to promote God, family, and country, and to protect life, liberty, and property, to bring to you news the networks refuse to use and tell the tale of liberty everywhere we go, to preach that this country is the greatest country on the face of the earth. Why? Because we have more respect for religious freedom than any other nation. We have more respect for the proper role of limited constitutional checks and balances style government than any other nation. We are not a democracy like the mainstream press and most politicians and bureaucrats tell you. We are a constitutional nation of republics. United States. United republics. And we have checks and balances like no other country. We have the greatest government on the face of the earth because we have the greatest supreme law on the face of the earth. Are we obeying it perfectly? Far from. Do we have a lot of problems? Absolutely. Are we in perilous times? Without a doubt. I understand all that, but I'm not going to concede the point. We are the greatest country on the face of the earth. America is the freest country in the world. No, Sam, there's studies out there where there, you know what? America's way down on the freedom list, Sam. I disagree. Even other nations that in some ways have more freedom than we do. How do you define freedom? Is it the ability to smoke pot? That makes you free? See, that's the lie. Is it the ability to promote pornography or prostitution or gambling? No, those are lies. Those are ills of society that never make men free. In fact, they turn men into slaves under the guise of freedom. What makes a nation free? The answer is their ability to understand and back the fundamental principles of success, which are God, family, and country, and to do so by protecting life, liberty, and property. Those are the fundamental realities, folks. Has America lost a lot of ground? Yes, sadly, she has. But you know what? One of the keys to freedom that most people overlook is this. The United States, with its checks and balances and with its constitutional system of sharing power, vertical and horizontal, checks and balances. Let me say that again. Vertical and horizontal checks and balances. That's one of the things that make America great, because even if we've lost freedoms, we have the ability to bring those back, to reverse that trend using the supreme law, utilizing what our founders fought, bled, and died for. And that's why I tell you we have the greatest country on the face of the earth. Other nations have a lot of freedoms. And in many cases, those freedoms do surpass freedoms in the United States. I get it and agree. But I also understand the fundamental principle that they don't have the seeds of solution in their very form of government. They don't have a series of constitutional republics with vertical and horizontal checks and balances. And they don't recognize God as the supreme, not government. Now, I know America's struggling with that right now. I get it. But we need to stand boldly, nobly, and independently for the founding father-esque view that God's in charge. And governments are instituted among men for the protection of those who delegate authority. That's we the people. And God is the ultimate sovereign. And we, under God's direction, are accountable to God's laws as human sovereigns. And as we, the people, the sovereign people of the United States, go read your Declaration of Independence, as we form a government, that government needs to carry out its proper role, which is to protect life, liberty, and property, and promote God, family, and country. Well, on Friday, we talked about Nancy Pelosi. She's a nut. She said merit is a condescending word. I don't agree with that at all. Anyway, we talked to Richard Mack on Friday, CSPOA.org, doing a great job. And we talked about Christian student group wins a lawsuit against the University of Colorado. Yeah, I commend them. Good work fighting back, standing for Christian principles. See, we need to be polite and kind, but we need to be bold and noble and independent in our defense of Christian principles and our religious liberties. We ought not put them on the altar of every other liberty under the sun that would deny religious liberty given a chance. We can't let that happen. The culture wars are real, is the point. All right, we talked about the vast majority of women who receive an abortion say they cannot afford a child. Is that because of dishonest money and taxes being out of control and regulation just crazy? I think so. You know, in my father's generation, they could raise a family on the father's income. Now it takes both father and mother's income, and families still struggle. No doubt there's prosperity everywhere. People have a lot of nice things, even if they're poor, even if they're broke. So it's false prosperity and getting and spending, if you will. We talked about half of Americans are just one paycheck away from financial disaster. Think about that. Americans are one paycheck away from financial disaster. Research, believe it or not, from the Federal Reserve indicates that roughly 4 in 10 Americans could not even afford a $400 emergency without melting down or borrowing money. What a sad tale to tell in this society where we think we're so prosperous, right? Donald Trump details America First immigration plan. Is it a good plan? Hard to tell. I mean, there's some good in it, I have to say. But I'm concerned about Donald and his immigration plans. He was very hardcore on immigration at first. Now he's softening up quite a bit as he backs into the swamp. And, you know, on one hand, I do want to be kind to the immigrants. On one hand, I do want to reward those who are good, honorable people to come to America. I believe we have the greatest nation on the earth, and I don't think that we ought to reject people who want to share in that prosperity and that stability and that safety. But we got to find people who will vote for the principles that make America great, which means understand the checks and balances, understand the supreme law, understand that we look to God, not government, and understand that we need to reject communism and socialism in all forms. I don't want to hear that you're a different brand of socialist, so it's okay. Hey, the socialism that Hitler backed, not okay. That's bad socialism. The socialism that is modern day is supposed to be good socialism. That's a lie. All socialism and all communism is bad, folks. A constitutional republic based on the rule of law, based on morality, and based on checks and balances, vertical and horizontal, are what we need in America today. I'll tell you that right now. And we have the greatest country on the face of the earth. Believe it or not, we highlighted at the end of the hour a study that said, hey, processed foods are literally making people overweight and fat and sick. Boy, howdy, is that the truth, huh? Anyway, so that's a recap of the whole week's broadcast on Liberty Roundtable Live. How'd we do in covering the news, huh? Do you feel like we've done a great job? Do you feel like, man, there's a lot of news you guys cover, man? If you believe we provide value, if you say, you know what, I love what Liberty Roundtable Live does. I am thankful for Liberty News Radio to syndicate Liberty Roundtable Live. If you're grateful and if you believe we provide value, I ask you to reach out and donate today. Do the same. Get involved. Make a difference. Okay, I'm not begging for your money to support my family. I've got a day job and so does my wife. Both of us work in this overtaxed, overregulated society in which we live. Both of us have to work to take care of our 8 children. Okay? So I'm not begging for your money. But in fact, I've got a good job, and so does my wife. We both are, you know, make decent money. We're not rich, but hey, with 8 kids, even with decent money, you don't have a lot of money, right? But I'm not begging for your money for my day job or for my family or anything else. I am asking you for money to help grow our presence in the media. The point is, I cannot fund it all by myself. Nor should I have to. And so I'm asking you to put money into libertyroundtable.com or libertynewsradio.com so that you can help prosper our presence in the media so we can tell the tale of liberty, so we can focus on God, family, and country, and life, liberty, and property, so we can take on the media like never before, so we can bring forward the news the networks refuse to use, so we can articulate the education necessary to restore the republic. And if we can't restore the nation, at least to find a contingent of good, honorable people who can live in constitutional communities and create safety for them and their children and their families and their prosperity. Look, it is about defending God, family, and country. It is about protecting life, liberty, and property. It is about the God-ordained traditional family and biblical views. It is about the sacred Christian cause that we stand. It is a culture war battle, but the real battle is a continuation of the war in heaven between God and Satan. I follow Jesus Christ in that war. I realize that it's a very difficult situation to be in the middle of a war. But I also understand we're talking about a war that's sometimes physical. Most times it's about principalities and powers and dominions. Oftentimes it's about standing for the sacred principles to which we believe. And believe it or not, those principles that we stand for, oftentimes we work with people who you would think would disagree with. For example, I'm a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, right? And usually you would think, well, the Baptists and the members of the Church of Jesus Christ aren't going to work together. But we ought to, and we do. And when we do, tremendous results happen. When Americans stand together on united beliefs and create a common front on what we believe in, we have tremendous success, folks. Over and over and over is delightful success. We don't have to disagree on things and spend our time on our disagreements. We might agree with 90% of the things that we agree on, and 10%. We shouldn't focus on the 10%, right? Let me give you an example. The evangelicals believe that, hey, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost are one God, right? They believe in the Trinity. I don't believe in the Trinity, folks. The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints members believe that God the Father and His Son Jesus Christ are two separate beings, and the Holy Ghost is a third being, and that God the Father and Jesus Christ, two separate beings, truly like a Father and a Son are, have bodies of flesh and bone. And the third being, the Holy Ghost, if you will, is a spirit, does not have a body of flesh and bones. But these three members of the Godhead are three separate, distinct beings, but they're one in purpose. That's opposite than the Trinity. We don't need to drill down on that which we disagree. We stand for God, family, and country, though, and we need to stand together. Shall we?
Have we realized the assault against our lives, our liberties, our faith? To defeat this assault, Christians and all people of goodwill should have strategies to prevail in our faith and principles, which are simple. No need for a complex formula. One goal, one aim. A strategy like the heroic Christians of the past. We win, they lose. Nothing less. Big Q, Little Q. The Calm Before the Storm, by a friend of Medjugorje. The strategy of heaven revealed. Big Q, Little Q. The Calm Before the Storm. Available on Amazon.com or by calling Caritas in the U.S. at 205-672-2000.
I'd advise Mr. Trump to stop whining and go try to make his case to get votes.
The press has created a rigged system.
They even want to try and rig the election.
Well, I tell you what, it helps in Ohio that we got Democrats in charge of the machines.
And poisoned the mind of so many of our voters.
At the polling booths, where so many cities are corrupt and voter fraud is all too common. And then they say, oh, there's no voter fraud in our country.
I come from Chicago. So I want to be honest. It's not as if it's just Republicans who have monkeyed around with elections in the past. Sometimes Democrats have too. You know, whenever people are in power, they have this tendency to try to, tilt things in their direction.
There's no vote.
You start whining before the game's even over. Whenever things are going badly for you and you lose, you start blaming somebody else. And you don't have what it takes to be in this job.
All right, back with you live. So I'm talking about the culture war, ladies and gentlemen, which is nothing more than the continuation of the war documented in the Bible in heaven. God versus Satan, where do you stand? And the culture wars are at the heart of it all. Missouri poised to become the latest state with pro-life abortion ban. Great news. The governor says he'll sign it. It already passed the legislative bodies in both houses in the wonderful state of Missouri. Good people are fighting back, folks. I know it looks glum, brutal. I get it. But I still say that we are the greatest country on the face of the earth, and I still say there's a lot of good people in America doing a lot of wonderful things. And people are working together in tremendous ways. I'm telling you, tremendous ways. And people are working together that would surprise you. Right? This is important to understand. Good people are doing great things all over the place. They really are. And it's important to highlight the good people are doing. Now, remember, I normally don't play sound bites on the air that are long because I believe it's my talk show and I'm not really here to turn it over to somebody else. But once in a while, there is somebody who does something worthy of me sharing the microphone so openly. And a guy who is a Catholic leader, his name is Arthur Brooks. And he speaks at Brigham Young University. So this guy is a big time Catholic. He teaches marriage seminars for the Catholics. He does a bunch of things. But this guy spoke at Brigham Young University for a graduation ceremony. And I'm telling you, his speech was spot on, to say the least. The headline says, we don't need to disagree less. We need to disagree better. Let me say that again. Arthur Brooks speaks at Brigham Young University. He said, we don't need to disagree less. We need to disagree better. And it's such a riveting speech from a Catholic. And he's speaking to members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, not even to the Catholics, right? But I'm telling you, it is a tremendous speech, and I'm going to play the whole thing. It's like 11 minutes long. But it is so good. It is so spot on. It is so humbling and powerful and respectful. And it goes beyond civility, to say the least. Here, ladies and gentlemen, is Arthur Brooks speaking to Brigham Young University, and I'll wrap up with comments about it, too. It's tremendous.
President Worthen, distinguished guests, parents, friends, and members of the Brigham Young University class of 2019, congratulations on this important day, and thank you for this incredible honor. With this honorary degree, I am proud to say that I am finally a real member of the BYU community.
Now, it's interesting. They gave him an honorary degree at Brigham Young University. And you listen and you'll see why.
I have to confess that up to this point, I've only ever impersonated a member of the BYU community. I know that sounds bad, so let me explain. Several years ago, I came to this beautiful place, to BYU, to deliver a lecture. My wonderful host sent me home with a ton of branded souvenirs, t-shirts, mugs, you name it. You guys are great at product placement.
So this Catholic leader is basically saying to the Mormons, the members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints at Brigham University, you guys are great at brand placement, because they gave him a bunch of, you know, stuff promoting BYU, right? They all laugh.
One particularly nice gift that I got that day was a briefcase. And it had BYU emblazoned across the front. Now, as it happened, I actually needed a new briefcase, but I kind of hesitated to use it because of the logo. It felt a little weird, like false advertising. See, I'm not a member of the faculty of BYU, nor am I a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. I'm a Catholic. Somebody told me, by the way, that I'm your favorite Catholic, but I figure you say that to all the Catholics, so.
Actually, interestingly enough, I got to deal with my buddies that are Catholic. Here's the deal. Ready? When we get to heaven, if I'm right, they're going to join the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, and if they're right, I'm going to join the Catholics. What do you think of that?
Anyway, my wife, Esther, when I expressed this hesitance, she said, you know, that's ridiculous. She said, use the briefcase. It's beautiful. Okay, so I loaded it up. I took it out on the road. I travel all the time. I'm in airports constantly. And here's the weird thing. I noticed that people would look at my briefcase, and then they'd look up at me. And they'd have this weird look on their face, like I've never seen an aging hipster Mormon before. Excuse me, Latter-day Saint.
Right? He gets a clap because the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints were focusing more on the name of the church, not the nicknames people have given the church. So it is the Church of Jesus Christ, by the way. And he's highlighting that reality. It's pretty interesting.
Now, it gave me some amusement, but here's the funny part. I found that it was changing my behavior. I was acting with greater love and kindness than I ordinarily would. People would look at my briefcase and I'd say, I want to help with their luggage. I want to give up my place in line, that sort of thing. Why? Because I was unconsciously trying to live up to the high standards of kindness of your church and your university. At very least, not to hurt your well-earned reputation for kindness. You know what else? I even stopped carrying cups of coffee. Look, I love coffee, but I didn't want people to think that a member of your church is a hypocrite. I had this paranoid fantasy, you know? Like some guy telling his wife, you know, I saw this Mormon guy in O'Hare Airport ordering a venti latte at Starbucks. You know, I knew they were hypocrites. I didn't want that. And you know what? That briefcase made me a happier person, a more loving person. I was like the person I wanted to be. Why? Because I was trying to be like you. So what's the lesson here? It's not that your BYU briefcases have magic properties. It's that your greatest witness to the world as members of this community is the conduct of your life.
And that is true for all of us. This guy is on to some real fundamental important things. Let me play that again.
Our nation.
Hold on.
It's that your greatest
Let's get this right.
It's not that your BYU briefcases have magic properties.
Listen carefully. Here's what it is. Listen.
It's that your greatest witness to the world as members of this community is the conduct of your life. Our nation and world need this. They need you more than ever today. If you pay attention to politics or television or social media, God forbid, what do you see? You see recrimination, reproach, insults, sarcasm. You see leaders at the highest levels of our country who bully and berate those with whom they disagree. You see families torn apart over political disagreements. You see political foes who treat each other as enemies. People often characterize the current moment in America as being angry. If only this were true. Anger is an emotion that occurs when we want to change someone's behavior and believe that we can do it. According to the research on anger, while it's often perceived as a negative emotion, it has social purpose, and it's not to drive others away. Rather, it's intended to remove problematic elements of a relationship and bring people back together. Believe it or not, there is no...
All right. Think about that. To bring people back together. That's what anger is designed to do, this guy says. You get angry, you feel bad, you feel wronged, you express yourself, you work through it, and good things happen is his point. Listen to this guy. He's a Catholic speaking to a bunch of members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, highlighting their goodness. And that's where they can make a difference in society. Listen up.
There's no evidence that in a marriage, anger is correlated with separation or divorce.
There's no evidence that anger in a marriage is correlated with separation or divorce. Isn't that interesting? This guy's a marriage counselor speaker on these topics around the world.
For 28 years, I've been married to a Spaniard. The secret to the success of my decades of marriage is the lack of correlation between anger and divorce. The problem, my friends, is not anger. It's contempt.
The problem is not anger in our society. It is contempt. Now, what's the difference, you might ask? He breaks it down. It's incredible.
In the words of the 19th century philosopher Arthur Schopenhauer, contempt is the unsullied conviction of the worthlessness of another person. The destructive power of contempt is well documented in the work of famous social psychologist and relationship expert John Gottman, who teaches at the University of Washington in Seattle. Over the course of his work, Gottman has studied thousands of married couples. The biggest warning signs of divorce, he explains, are indicators of contempt.
Indicators of contempt. We'll leave it right there and come back. I got about just over 6 minutes left in this incredible speech from a wise Catholic speaking to members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Words of wisdom that are incredible. His name is Arthur Brooks. Liberty Roundtable live in seconds.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
U.S.
USA Radio News with Wendy King.
Missouri is the latest state to pass restrictive abortion measures. Governor Mike Parson.
I think that's important. I think that's showing Missourians values, and it's a piece of legislation that will be signed in the near future.
Democratic Representative Carrie Engel.
There's really no words to describe it. It feels like we're failing the state of Missouri.
The bill increases tax credits for donations to pregnancy resource centers. Women who receive abortions after 8 weeks would not be prosecuted, but doctors who perform them could face up to 15 years in jail. The weather is not yet spring in some places. Brian Hurley is lead forecaster at the Weather Prediction Center, and he has bad news for the nation's heartland.
Thunderstorm activity, some of which can be severe, damaging winds, hail, but also, certainly with that said, the threat of flash flooding as well.
This is USA Radio News.
With Amazon Music, a voice is all you need.
Won't you stop your crying? I know that you're trying. Everything's gonna be okay.
Alexa, play Maren Morris.
Okay.
Oh, girl, won't you stop your crying? I know that you're trying. Everything's gonna be okay.
Get unlimited access to over 50 million songs. Download the Amazon Music app today.
At Indeed, we believe a resume is a great way to see an overview of a candidate. But you're not hiring a resume, you're hiring a person. That's why Indeed offers tools that help bridge the gap between a candidate and the resume. Like skill tests, which let you actually see a candidate's abilities in action to make sure they're a good fit for the job. See beyond the resume with Indeed. Experience Indeed for yourself today and get a free sponsored job upgrade on your first posting at Indeed.com/promo. Terms and conditions apply.
The battle over transferring billions of dollars to build a southern border wall with Mexico has now gone to court, and the U.S. House is urging a federal judge in California to not allow the transfer of money without Congress's approval. 20 states are joining the House in the effort to block the money being moved. Both sides were questioned about the ability to challenge the transfers. The judge did not say when he expects to issue a ruling. Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau says Canada stayed strong by waiting for a full lift of U.S. tariffs on steel and aluminum. That happened, and now he says they're working on a new NAFTA.
These continued tariffs on steel and aluminum and our countermeasures represented significant barriers to moving forward with the new NAFTA agreement. Now that we've had a full lift on these tariffs, we are going to work with the United States on timing for ratification.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
All right, we're hearing from a marriage therapist, a counselor, but he's a Catholic. The guy speaks all around the world, does a great job. He's speaking to a bunch of members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints and Brigham Young University students, BYU students at their graduation. And he says, you know what? Anger has never destroyed a marriage. It's contempt that destroys a marriage. Here are the documented signs he highlights of contempt.
These include sarcasm, sneering, hostile humor, and worst of all, eye rolling. I have teenage kids. I see lots of eye rolling. But if you roll your eyes at somebody you love, woe be unto you. That is a little act that says you're worthless to the one person, your spouse, the person you should love more than any other. You want to see if a couple will end up in divorce court? Watch them discuss contentious topics and see if either partner rolls his or her eyes. And just as contempt ruins a marriage, it can tear a country apart. America's developed a culture of contempt, a habit of seeing people who disagree with us not merely as incorrect or misguided, but as worthless. This is causing incredible harm to our country. 1 in 6 Americans have stopped talking to close friends or family members over politics since the 2016 election. Millions are organizing their social lives and curating their news and information to avoid hearing viewpoints differing from their own. Ideological polarization is at higher levels than at any time since the American Civil War. Listen now. Listen to the words of Church President Russell M. Nelson. Quote, hatred among brothers and neighbors has now reduced sacred cities to sites of sorrow, unquote. He said this in 2002. Today, it's even truer, isn't it? And this is harming more than our nation. Remember that America is a beacon of hope for the rest of the world.
Did you hear that? America is a beacon of hope to the rest of the world. That's one of the reasons we're the greatest country on the face of the earth. It's the light we've got as followers of Christ, a Christian nation built upon Christian principles where God's in his heaven and he's the ultimate sovereign, not government. Let me play that again.
We are an example.
Wow.
And this is harming more than our nation. Remember that America is a beacon of hope for the rest of the world. We are an example of democratic capitalism that has pulled 2 billion of our brothers and sisters out of starvation level poverty over the past half century alone. This is a nation that's attracted you or your ancestors with the promise of equal opportunity, religious freedom, and a good life for you and your family. When America's torn apart, we become incapable of living up to the plan, the holy plan for our nation, which is to shine a light for the rest of the world.
Folks, this isn't Sam Bushman, your Mormon talk show host, your talk show host that's a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. This is a Catholic leader with tremendous insight on the great republic to which we belong.
What do we need?
I want to rewind this again. That was so good. So spot on. So valuable. Listen.
Good life for you and your family. When America's torn apart, we become incapable of living up to the plan, the holy plan for our nation.
The holy plan for our nation. Wow. Amen, sir. Amen.
Which is to shine a light for the rest of the world. So what do we need? Some say we need to agree more. But that's wrong. Disagreement is good because competition is good. It makes us sharp and strong, whether in sports, politics, economics, or in the world of ideas. We don't need to disagree less. We need to disagree better.
We don't need to disagree less. We need to disagree better. What that means is we need to learn to disagree and do so agreeably. We need to agree to disagree agreeably. We need to be kind and we need to go beyond civility, he tells us. Listen up.
Other people say we need more civility. But that's wrong, too. Civility is a hopelessly low standard for us as Americans. Imagine I told you that my wife Esther and I are civil to each other. You'd say to get some counseling. If we're going to beat the problem of contempt, we're going to need something more radical than civility, something that speaks to our heart's true desire. We need love, which was defined by Thomas Aquinas as to will the good of the other. We need a new generation ready to model lives of love in the midst of the culture of contempt. We need young people who can live out in today's culture the words of the book of Helaman, chapter 5. And it came.
So this Catholic is quoting the Book of Mormon to Mormons. And he's quoting the prophet of the Church of Jesus Christ of the Latter-day Saints. Why? Because he uniquely understands that they're words of wisdom. Doesn't matter if he's Catholic and they're Mormons or members of the Church of Jesus Christ. The fact is there's wise words that we can all share. He's quoting our words. I'm quoting his words now, right? We need to work together, folks, for the greater cause.
To pass.
And here's what he says when he quotes this. Listen to the wise words quoted in the Book of Mormon, quoted by a Catholic. Listen up.
Out in today's culture, the words of the Book of Helaman, chapter 5. And it came to pass that they did go forth and did minister unto the people, and as many as were convinced did lay down their weapons of war, and also their hatred and the tradition of their fathers. He was talking about you. Make no mistake, this isn't easy to do. It requires people who will not run away from the problem, who are unafraid to infiltrate the culture of contempt, who are capable of modeling a better sense of value.
I intend to infiltrate the culture of contempt, ladies and gentlemen, with kindness and love and working together in ways that are useful. That's why I'm playing this long speech. It's over 11 minutes long. But I'm playing it on the radio to you today because I cannot find a more right point made. And it's made by a Catholic. But he is so spot on, it is amazing.
And values. This requires the agility to be in the culture, but not of it. When you think of it, it's kind of like missionary work, isn't it? Missionaries have the training and experience to participate in society without getting sucked into its pathologies. They have the courage and fortitude necessary to face resistance and go forth with the joy that comes from sharing the truth. Just out of curiosity, do you happen to know anyone with missionary experience? Well, guess what? It's time to dust off that experience and use it in a brand new way, starting today. Near my home, there's a Catholic retreat center where my wife and I teach marriage preparation class to engage couples. In the chapel, there's a sign posted over the door, but not the door coming in. It's posted over the door before you go out into the parking lot. It's written for people to look at as they're leaving. Here's what it says. You are now entering mission territory. The message is simple, but it's really profound. You're here because you've found what's good and true. But you're going out to where people haven't found what you've discovered. You have the privilege of sharing it with joy and with confidence. That should be a message to you who want to make America and the world better. You know what our world needs. More love, less contempt. You have the skills and you have the training to make this a reality. Most of you have been raised your whole lives with the values that I magically got for a few minutes from my BYU briefcase. You've received an education through hard work at one of the world's greatest universities. Some of you know, maybe all of you, that this university has an unofficial motto. Enter to learn, go forth to serve. You get to live up to that motto starting today, to sanctify your learning in ordinary work by lifting up and bringing together a great nation. So ladies and gentlemen of the BYU class of 2019, I pray that our Heavenly Father will bless the world abundantly through you. Congratulations on this accomplishment. And don't forget, you are now re-entering mission territory. God bless you. God bless America. Thank you very much.
I am telling you right now, what an example they literally give the guy a standing O, justifiably deserved. I'm just saying, think about that, ladies and gentlemen, of what this Catholic leader said. And he's saying it for the Mormons, or the members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. He's saying it for the class of Brigham Young University that he just spoke to of 2019. He is saying it, though, over the door in his Catholic institution. So what he's saying is we can all do this. Now, if he wanted to divide and conquer, what he could do easily is say, hey, it doesn't apply to you Mormons, man. You guys are wrong. The Catholic way is the only way. And you members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints are just a problem. He didn't do any of that. He wants us all who believe in Christ. He wants us all who believe in God, family, and country. He wants us all who believe in protecting life, liberty, and property. He wants us, and he's very big. He spoke about his country more than once. He knows that this nation is a light unto the world. He knows that our wonderful Constitution, the checks and balances, the pointing to God is the answer. He knows and understands the morality in the people is key. He knows our mission as followers of God. And he doesn't get caught up in the semantics. Like I mentioned, the Mormons believe the church, that God, the Father, and the Son are two separate beings, and the Holy Ghost is a third being. The Father and the Son have flesh and bone. The Holy Ghost is a body of spirit. But they're three separate beings, but they come together in one purpose. Well, this guy doesn't believe that as a Catholic. But it's okay. We both believe in God and stand together with the same moral compass, don't we? Final segment in seconds.
Hi, I'm Patty, wife of former Congressman Steve Stockman. In Congress, Steve sought impeachment of Eric Holder for his corruption of the Justice Department and his fast and furious gun running that caused border agent Brian Talley's death. Steve called for arrest of Lois Lerner for her contempt of Congress as it investigated her targeting of conservative nonprofit groups. After 4 years, four grand juries, and millions of tax dollars, Steve Stockman is in prison. His case involved four checks to nonprofits. DOJ has one standard for Hillary Clinton, but another for folks like President Trump and my husband. We've spent all our savings, all Steve's retirement, and much of mine. Steve Stockman has fought for you and America. Won't you join me now to fight for Steve? To help, text FIGHT to 444-999. Text FIGHT to 444-999 or go to defendapatriot.com. Defendapatriot.com.
Mm-hmm. call is being transferred to the listening ear. Listening professionals dedicated to hearing you.
Hello, listening ear. Who am I listening to?
Carrie, but I was calling my mom.
Yes, you were, but your mom was so busy, she felt it was important for you to have someone who could completely focus on listening to you and you alone. So she subscribed to our service. Go ahead, I'm listening.
Well, I'm not quite sure.
Where to start? Well, I can listen to school issues like science projects. I can listen to boy problems, although that's an extra $3 per call because of the emotional drain on me. How about we start with how you wish you had made cheerleader?
I didn't try out for cheerleader.
This isn't Mary?
Carrie. I'm Carrie.
Oh, sorry.
There is no substitute for a loving parent. And when you really listen, love is what they'll hear. From the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, for more tips on strengthening your family, visit family.mormon.org.
All right, all I'm telling you, man, what a wonderful speech from our Catholic brother, Arthur Brooks. He speaks at Brigham Young University, and he says, we don't need to disagree less, we need to disagree better. Amen. Let me highlight an important disagreement in America, gun control. How about a movie called Good Guys with Guns? Now available on DVD, folks. You want to learn about it? Go to moviepubs.net. MoviePubs.net, moviepubs.net, and it is a tremendous, tremendous movie. Again, we could disagree better. If you don't agree with me, you know what? You don't have to hate me. You don't have to have contempt for me. You don't have to think I'm evil and I'm going to destroy the world and I'm a racist and I'm a bigot and I'm a hater. You don't need to go there. You just need to say we disagree on this fundamental issue. But there are good guys with guns, and this headline highlights it. How an armed citizenry detours tyranny and atrocities. This DVD explores the question of why we are seeing mass shootings in our schools, churches, and public places. Our experts seem to have no answers. Yet an uncontrolled gun lobby has only one answer. That's disarmed, good, honest citizens. But you know what? Scholars have told us that governments have killed over 262 million of their own citizens, so it's not that we keep guns for target practice and hunting. This DVD asks hard questions and deals with serious answers. What a tremendous thing. How an armed citizenry detours tyranny and atrocities. Great stuff. Right? And I'm not, you know, here to, if you disagree, to argue with you. How an armed citizenry deters tyranny and atrocities. I mean, it's really good. The tyranny comes from government. The atrocity comes from unhinged people. But the DVD is incredible. Well, I got the information about this DVD from the Oath Keepers, and I talked to a lot of people about wanting to create a movie like this several years ago. I guess sometimes, sadly, I talk about it and others get it done. Good for them. But I heard about it from oathkeepers.org. Become a member of Oath Keepers today, by the way. But Good Guys with Guns is an incredible DVD, now available, moviepubs.net, how an armed citizenry deters tyranny and atrocities. Just great stuff. And I bring that up right on the heels of this speech, right? There's another movie on this website, How Hollywood Movies and the New York media are promoting the globalist agenda. Yeah. A lot of good stuff. Anyway, I commend Oath Keepers. I want to stand up for what I believe in this debate. I believe the founders understood that, you know what? Good guys with guns are the solution. One of the solutions in America. You say, Sam, come on. Guns are violent. No, they're not. People can be violent if they're wicked. But every time one of these berserk folks go crazy with a gun, every time this happens, folks, listen to me carefully. Every time this happens, a good guy with a gun comes. He's usually a cop or a guard or somebody who stops it. And he uses a gun to stop it every single time. And oftentimes, a good guy with a gun that's not a member of the police force or whatever else stops it. And oftentimes, good guys with guns stop it before it ever even gets started. Anyway, what a tremendous, tremendous reality check. All right, I got sad news from Taiwan. Taiwan's legislature voted to legalize, quote, same-sex marriage. They say that's a first in Asia. Now, why am I sad about that? Well, I don't believe in same-sex marriage. I believe it's a contradiction in terms. Marriage has to do with two becoming one, and it can only happen between God's ordained marriages, a male and a female. That's marriage, a male and a female. And so I don't believe that it is true marriage. I believe it's just governments legalizing and codifying this idea that two males can have what a male and a female can have, or two females can have what a male and a female can have. And I'm not here to be hostile or hate-filled or argumentative, but I am here to say I believe that's the way. God set forth that initiative, male and female created he them. And God set forth marriage, and he says, don't let men divide it. But marriage was between a man and a woman. Started out between Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. And I bring this up not to be hate-filled, not to attack gay people, but to highlight my beliefs on the subject. And here's the question. Is there a way for me to stick to my beliefs but be kind and gentle and civil and not be full of contempt and hatred and anger and fear and every other emotion they want to attach to me? Can I stand for my beliefs but be kind and fair and open? And can I do that? Let's go back to Mr. Arthur Brooks' speech. We don't need to disagree less. That's wrong. The problem is contempt. We need to disagree better. So I need to learn to disagree with those who believe differently than I, but I need to do it better. I need to do it more humbly, more patiently, more kindly. But I don't need to equivocate. I don't need to crumble. I don't need to fail. I don't need to back up. I don't need to apologize. I don't need to fail. I don't need to capitulate. I don't need to betray my people or my beliefs. I do need to disagree better. How can I do that? By being respectful and kind. By serving others around me with love, regardless if we disagree or not. Can I learn to disagree agreeably? Can I agree to disagree with these people agreeably and say, I get that they have their views and their thoughts? But that does not mean that I need to jettison my beliefs, my understanding. So I am saddened that Taiwan doubled down and backed same-sex marriage. I believe that's a sad tale to tell. I'm not here to attack those people, but I am here to focus on I have different beliefs. I operate from a different set of principles that God set forth that I am not at liberty to change, and I am not willing to apologize for. I'm going to double down and have faith in my God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And I'm going to say he set forth marriage and he created us male and female. And any view to the contrary goes against my direct belief in God. And I can disagree with you and I can maybe learn to do it better. I agree. But that doesn't mean that I will capitulate and or back away from my beliefs. I will not do it. I got good news. Can I switch to that? Donald Trump follows through on threat to cancel $1 billion for California high-speed rail. $1 billion, ladies and gentlemen, for a government train. Now, do I support trains? Do I support transportation? Absolutely. Transportation is good, right? But that doesn't mean that I need to jettison my beliefs that, you know what, we don't want government transportation. So I'm delighted when Donald Trump cancels $1 billion of taxpayer funding for government-controlled transportation. I'm delighted. It doesn't mean I don't want an Elon Musk or somebody else smart to go out and build a better mousetrap and build a private sector way for greater transportation. I do. Elon, get on it, buddy. Come on now. Right? Okay, but the problem that I have here is, look, if you build a government train in California at $1 billion of taxpayer money, why are the people in Washington or Missouri or Alabama or Maine or whatever, Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, why are they paying for a government train in California? They ought not be doing that. They don't get any benefit from it. So we don't want to steal. Thou shalt not steal is one of the Ten Commandments, and government doesn't have that authority. If we don't have the authority to steal from one another, we can't delegate that authority to the government now, can we? See, that's the critical point to understand. So I'm for transportation. I'm against government-controlled transportation. In fact, if you want to go see the problem, go look in your Communist Manifesto. It calls for government-controlled transportation. Not to mention the 10th plank is calling for government-controlled education. Anyway, I guess in Utah, starting on Tuesday, people convicted of hate crimes can be subject to harsher punishment. Wow. They say 15-year-olds in Utah can't get married anymore. 15-year-olds can no longer be married in the state of Utah. The state's Stand Your Ground law will get stronger. Believe it or not, lawmakers in Utah... Yeah, lawmakers in Utah passed 574 bills this year, setting a record. Most of the laws will go into effect on Tuesday, 60 days after the end of the short legislative session, they say. Utah lawmakers, wow, passed 574 bills this year. You comfortable with that? They set a record. See, I'm not comfortable with that. And I'll tell you why. We need to focus on, folks, in my opinion, the Ten Commandments. We don't necessarily need to focus on the government making more and more and more laws. I mean, look, what if they pass 574 bills this year, setting a record? I'm going to put on my headline, sadly. Sadly, Utah lawmakers passed 574 new bills this year, setting a record. That's sad in my opinion. And the reason that it's sad is because, in my opinion, it highlights this idea that the way you make people do what's right is you pass more laws. A measure allowing higher alcohol sales in Utah grocery stores will go into effect in November. But I don't like this. Because what we've got here is this idea that if we just pass more laws, people are going to do more right. And I don't believe that. I don't believe that at all. I don't believe that more laws are the answer. I believe more obedience to the Ten Commandments is the answer. Because look, those 10 laws, thou shalt not steal, means you wouldn't take any of my, you know, money for any of these government programs that are unconstitutional, right? If you don't disobey any of the Ten Commandments, I'm not sure what real trouble you can get into. I think if we obey the 10 simple commandments from God, the lower law is what they called it back in the day. Remember, Moses went up to get the greater law and then they had to shatter it and go get the lower law. This is the lower law. Can't we live that, folks? And if we could, we'd be self-governed enough not to need the 10 gazillion commandments. So let me get this straight to put it in perspective for you. God's law requires 10 rules to obey, called commandments. Sadly, Utah lawmakers passed 574 bills in a single year. And they think that's going to be the answer? No offense, but good luck with that false notion. We need to turn to God, family, and country, ladies and gentlemen. We need to learn to go beyond civility and lead with love and kindness. We don't need to disagree less. We need to disagree better. We need to follow Arthur Brooks' comments to be kind and lead by example and teach people about the principles of God. For that will turn people away from abuse and hostility and hatred and anger and destruction more than anything we can do. The Catholics and the Mormons and the Protestants and the Evangelicals, we all need to stand together and tell the tale of God, family, and country. We declare this nation shall endure. God save the Republic of the United States of America. LibertyRoundtable.com.